Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
Well, now, when your songwriting credits include The Town I Love So Well, Score Not His Simplicity and Ireland's Call, you might think it would be nice to sit back and relax and enjoy the fruits of your labour. But that's not how legendary songwriter Phil Coulter operates. He's heading off around the country again on tour, hitting venues from Belfast and Derry to Carlow and Killarney over the next 2 months. He's still writing new songs, still working hard at his craft, and still finding new ways to bring classic songs to a really loyal audience. And he's here with me in studio live this morning. Phil Coulter, good morning to you.
Lovely to be here, Maria.
You never change. I just said to my producer, you look exactly the same. You don't age. So what? First up, where'd you get your energy? What's your secret?
Well, fear of failure is always a good driver. Energy, yeah. People often ask, you know, you're embarking on 30-something dates on a tour, where do you get the energy? Here's the simple answer, Maria. I get the energy from my audience. Seriously, you know, songwriting is a very solitary pursuit. You know, I'm sitting at the piano in the early hours and beating things out. But you're on stage and you've got an audience, a theatre full of people who are there. I don't use the word fans, but, you know, I call them kind of, they're more believers than fans. Mm. You know, they're mature people and they've stayed with me, thanks be to God, for a long time. But they're there because they appreciate the music. They maybe have a bit of a history with the music. Some of the songs have, you know, resonate with them. Mm. And so you get a feedback from them. Certainly now, I put a lot of energy into my concert, sure, and I work hard at putting the set together and trying to freshen it up, et cetera, every year. But it's what you get back from the audience that kind of fuels you to do the next 30 gigs, you know?
I think that's true. But you're still writing great songs. I know you go to the office every day. That's a separate space, not a home office. But let's take a chorus of one of your recent songs that did really well for you. It earned you a Grammy nomination, which is no small thing. This is Roy Buckley and For Another King and Country.
For another king and country in another cause, for Colin's brothers pay the price in that war to end all wars. From the mud and blood of Flanders and the squalor on the Somme, they're one by one, their lives undone by the bullet and the bomb. By the bullet and the bomb.
I'm not surprised you won a Grammy. It's a fantastic song. I didn't know the story, Phil, you rooted that song in, the story of the Collins brothers from Waterford. Tell me about that.
Fascinating. Well, it came about Ralph McTell, you know, Ralph McTell, Streets of London, Ralph McTell, a great pal of mine. And he has a great fascination with World War One. I think he had like a grand uncle who fought and died in it. And he was working on a project on the First World War. And a conversation, he said, Phil, do you know that there were tens of thousands of Irish soldiers who fought and died in the First World War? I hadn't realised that. So I did a little bit of poking around and a little bit of research. And I discovered this story of a family in Waterford. There were eight sons, six of whom joined the British Army, five of whom perished. And only one survived, William Collins. It's a Saving Private Ryan story without the Hollywood ending. Why? Because when William Collins came back home after having, you know, suffered all of the agonies of the war of Flanders and the Somme, etc., he comes back instead of being a hero. In the meantime, the political landscape has changed radically back home after the 1916 rebellion. Mm-hmm. And the leaders being executed, etc. So there was a great anti-British feeling. So William Collins, when he came back, as indeed did many other of the returning soldiers, they couldn't talk about their experiences because they were now like pariahs in their own town because they were seen to be supporters of the British Crown. Mm-hmm. So it was agony upon agony, having lost his four brothers, having suffered all of that stuff in the war. Now he's home and he has to kind of avoid talking about what his experiences are. For me, that was a fascinating story, a real human interest story. So As a songwriter, what do you do? You find a story like that, you turn it into a song.
It's beautiful, Phil. I often think that my favourite song of yours is still The Town I Love So Well. I think you like it yourself, don't you?
It's a question I'm often asked of all of the songs. What's your favourite? And you have to give your songs a bit like your kids. You know, you love them all, but some of them exceed your expectations. Some of them don't live up to your expectations, but that's the way it is. If the question was, what's the one song you would choose to be remembered for? I think it'd be The Town I Love So Well.
And of course, I've spoken to you before about your fabulous parents. Your upbringing in Derry, do you think that's partly where your discipline and drive comes from, Phil? And did your parents, did they have a different plan for you? Do you think they wanted you to do something else in life?
I think the important thing was, you're right, growing up in Derry had a lot to do with it. And St. Columb's College had a lot to do with it. Mm. One of my favourite stories is one of our first tours with the orchestra in the United States, we did a fundraiser for Field Day. The theatre.
Brian Friel, yeah.
Yeah, Brian. So in the we did this fundraiser, and there was a reception afterwards in a smart house in Georgetown. And at that drinks afterwards, there was John Hume, Seamus
Healy, my hero,
Seamus Dean, Brian Friel, and myself, all ex and Columns boys. Now, and we hadn't been hanging about together because, you know, we all went down different paths. Yeah. But in chatting that evening, I remember the one thing that we agreed upon that we all had in common was a work ethic.
Yeah.
It was beaten into us probably in St. Columns. Why? Because, well, here was the thing. Our generation at St. Columns, the sidebar was that there was a kind of minor seminary, so you were taught, if you had brains, if you had a talent, a God-given talent, you had an obligation to use that talent and to use your brains. But the sidebar was that if you did, there was then an education act that had been brought in by the Labour government, which opened up third-level education to scholarship. That was the important thing. So the likes of Seamus Heaney, Hume or myself would never have been at university if we'd be depending on our parents to pay for it.
Yeah.
So that opened up a whole new Pandora's box, you know. So it was kind of made very clear to us that if you use your talent, if you use your brains, you have an opportunity here to progress, you know, to third level, which maybe none of your family had ever done before.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, when I look back on the seismic changes in the north of Ireland at that period, that was a crucial part of it.
Absolutely. No, what a school as well, though. So look, when you go on this tour now, and I know your beautiful wife, Geraldine Brannigan, is going to be with you as well. How do you balance the set list? So we've already listened to one of your new songs, Phil, For Another King and Country. But like, I know if I would go along, which I will, I'd be really disappointed if you don't, for instance, play The Town I Love So Well. Mm. So how do you balance that?
Yeah, absolutely right. I couldn't conceive of doing a show without The Town I Love So Well. People would probably be walking out in protest.
I'd be leading it.
Yeah, well, you know, there are certain songs that are the kind of pillars, you know.
Yeah.
The Town I Love So Well would certainly be one. Scorn Not Its Simplicity. Steal Away would be another. The Old Man would be another. And of course, Ireland's Call, when you need a bit of something raucous. So those are the kind of pillars. In between times, you know, you find other stories, other songs that maybe have become relevant. For example, in recent times, I've been working with John Sheehan, the last surviving Dubliner, on this theatre project called The Dubliners Encore.
Yeah,
where we find five young guys, you know, who are busking in the streets. Like these were not hired from some casting company. They're the real McCoy. These guys really are folkies. And so they're starring in this. It is a theatre. It's not a tribute act. It's a theatre show telling the whole story of the Dubliners with a lot of footage, archive stuff that John Sheehan would have had access to. So we just had a great week in the Gaiety Theatre. And now the lads are on tour in the UK and then Germany, etc. But so that now takes my attention back to my period with the Dubliners.
Yeah,
so there's all kinds of stories in there.
And of course, the great Luke Kelly. Actually, just because we all love it so much, we're going to play now a little clip of The Town I Love So Well, sung by the late, great Luke Kelly.
Town that I have by the gas yard wall, and we laughed through the smoke and the smell. Going home in the rain, running up the dark lane, past the jail and down behind the fountain. So many, many ways in the town I loved so well.
It's majestic. That always makes me cry. I don't know why, just listening to it, but remind me, and I know everyone knows the story, but the story about Luke Kelly when you first played it for him.
Well, when I took over producing the Dubliners, Luke was the one that was continually kind of badgering me to write songs that had a bit more substance than Pop It On A String or Congratulations. Grown-up songs, he used to call them. Phil, going to have to write some grown-up songs. I knew what he meant, you know, songs that would address some serious issues. So, The Town I Love So Well, briefly, I'll tell you, put you in the picture there. I was in Derry on the weekend that internment was introduced, you know. And so, like everyone else in Derry, we just felt that we'd been violated, you know, that it was, you know, the intelligence that the Brits had was so weak that they threw the net so wide, they were dragging guys out of bed for no better reason than they played GAA or spoke Irish or played Irish music or were tainted in some way as being Republican. You know, so there were guys at school with me who were dragged out of bed who were no more gunmen than I was. So I wrote an anti-internment song called Free the People.
Mm-hmm.
Not
great
a great song, because it was an anti-something song. But it started something in my brain. It planted a seed that, you know, I had never gone down that political route before. So it was months later. I wasn't really all that happy with Free the People. I thought, I need to say something more substantial about this whole situation. So I wrote The Town I Love So Well. The story about Luke, there was only one voice in my head, by the way, when I was writing that song. And for a songwriter to have a voice like Luke Kelly on hand when you're writing a song is a gift, you know, a real gift. To me, The Town I Love So Well and Luke Kelly are, you know, inseparable. Mm-hmm. It's Luke Kelly's song. So anyway, I was preparing an album with the Dubs, and I flew up to, remember this very well, Sheffield. They were working in a working men's club in Sheffield. They did a lot of that kind of work back then. So I arrived up of an evening time. I said, Luke, see me tomorrow. I have a new song. I want to play just for you, not the rest of the band. So I said, come down to my room. I'm in room number such and such. Come down when you get up. So that proved to be like kind of not too early, as you can imagine. So Kelly arrived at sort of like lunchtime with his eyes, you know, like two piss holes in the snow. He'd been on the beer the night before. So he sat in one of the single beds. I sat on the other, and I got out the guitar. I sang The Town I Love So Well with my eyes closed. Why? Well, because when you're unveiling a new song to anybody, it's like a new baby, you know, you're still very protective. And with Kelly particularly, because he had an encyclopedic knowledge of folk music and wouldn't have been afraid to tell me if he thought it was a piece of shit, you know, would definitely not. He'd have been right there. So for that reason as well, I kept my eyes closed. I didn't want to see his reactions. I didn't want to see if he was yawning or scratching himself or like looking out the window, whatever. I closed my eyes. Sang the song and finished. I'll always play the Bright Brand New in The Town I Love So Well. Played the last chord, opened my eyes and looked over, and there were tears in Luke Kelly's eyes. That moment, Miriam, that was the moment I knew that song had hit the mark.
Oh,
that was the moment. There have been many others since, you know, hearing Kelly sing it in the Royal Albert. Or 3 years ago, this weekend, I was up in Derry. I was getting the Freedom of Derry, but we did this mass singing. 3,000 people in Ebrington Square singing out of doors, singing The Town I Love So Well. That's one of the most. That's one of my cherished versions of that as well. So yeah, the song has become very special.
I mean, you've also, with obviously Luke Kelly there, just such a genius, but you've also written My Boy for Elvis Presley, which I love. You've also written for Sinead O'Connor, Richard Harris, and then that deeply personal song, which I also love, Score Not His Simplicity. That's another, as Luke would say, a grown-up song.
Precisely. And I would probably never have written that without Luke, you know. That was part of his, you know, encouraging me to, you know, go down different roads. what a privilege as a songwriter to have a song that's recorded by two of the greatest voices the country ever produced, Luke and Sinead. Her version is entirely different. She brings that great frailty, you know, to the song. It's a kind of, you know, it's a female reading of the lyric, but very special.
As you head out on this tour now, Phil, with Geraldine, your wife, it's called Tranquility by Candlelight. And I know it starts on the 4th of November in Armagh. It's going to run to the 20th of December in the INEC in Killarney. And I'll give the details in a moment. But how do you get ready for this tour? And do you love doing what you do as much? I mean, when you start singing songs like The Town I Love So Well or Scorn and Simplicity to those audiences, people just must be so moved by them.
Yeah, there's a great power there, you know. That's as I said, that's what kind of motivates you, that's what energizes you through the whole thing. How do you prepare? Well, I mean, I think long and hard about the set list, as we were discussing earlier on, to make sure that that's, you know, that's got the right balance. What do I enjoy? I enjoy the 2 hours on stage. I can't say that I jump out of bed saying, "Woo, we've got a 4-hour drive up to Letterkenny today," you know.
Lovely Letterkenny.
But that's part of the gig, you know. Those few hours on stage are really, you know, then you're playing your trade, you know, you're communicating with people, you're getting that feedback and chatting to people afterwards. That's, you know, not to sound too po-faced about it, but that's a real privilege, you know. Mm. I mean, for those 2 hours, my goal in those 2 hours is when those 2 hours are over, for people to believe that they've spent an evening in my company, you know? So not only do I sing the songs, play the music, but tell the stories, and I give them some kind of an insight into what that journey has been. It's been a hell of a journey.
Well, I hope, and I know, you're never going to retire, sure, you know. No, I hate that word.
The concept of retirement has never actually taken up too much space in my brain. I don't like the option. You know, I don't fancy the idea of sitting home reading the paper and drinking tea and driving Geraldine crazy. She'd have me out digging the garden, doing wee jobs. And no, I couldn't do that.
Well, I always find it a privilege to interview people who are as brilliantly talented as you are, Phil. And for the joy you've brought, I think, so many Irish people in Ireland with your beautiful songs. Thank you so much. And as I say, your tour, Tranquility by Candlelight, it's starting on the 4th of November in Armagh. It's running to the 20th of December in the INEC in Killarney. And all the details people can find and tickets, etc., on philcoulter.com. Stay being brilliant, Phil. Thank you for being my guest.
Thanks a million, Mary.
Mind yourself. We'll take a break.